You look like Gwyneth Paltrow on food stamps. Welcome to Quarantinema, a.k.a. Quarantinema, a.k.a. Quarantine Enema, the only podcast where we don't know how to say the name of the show. My name is Connor Sullivan. Thank you very much for joining us today. Hello. Happy March. Yeah, this is the first episode we've done in March, I think, right? Yeah, so that's cool. Anywho, little bit of a light episode today. I haven't really been watching a ton of movies we're going to be talking about Shiva Baby, which is a little indie flick that came out last year. That's really the only movie I watched this week. I've been watching we'll segue one into the other. So we'll talk a little bit about the SAG Awards. I know we were kind of, it was literally on in the background during last week's episode, so I kind of addressed it. Maybe I'll go into a little bit more this time now that the dust has settled there. But one of the takeaways I got from watching SAG was Michael Keaton's won Best Actor in a Limited Series for Dope Sick. And Dope Sick has been sitting there on Hulu. I've heard really good things about it. I just hadn't gotten around to watching it. It wasn't like ever really near the top of my list, but I was like, all right, you know, once I saw Michael Keaton's speech and how much the role meant to him and stuff like that. And Michael Keaton's an actor I like, so I figured, why not? Let's give this show a whirl. I think I'm 5 episodes in right now, and it is absolutely amazing. Just really, really great look into, systemic addiction, I guess you can kind of call it. So basically the show, it follows multiple storylines, and it's all kind of revolved around, addiction and who, and just the life cycle of how people get hooked on, certain medications. And with this one in particular, it's kind of a biopic of OxyContin. And so, you see stories from how, big pharma companies, like they're the ones that kind of plan and kind of deceit people into, getting them people hooked on these drugs. You see doctors and, how the drug is sold to them and how they prescribe it to their patients. And we see it from users, the people who, some people who are legitimate in need of pain medication, and they just end up getting hooked on this drug. And then, there's law enforcement and just everything else in between. It's really, really fascinating. Really great cast as well. Michael Keaton, as I mentioned, Rosario Dawson, who's always amazing. What's her name? She's in, I feel like I've seen her in so many things and I can never remember her name. Peter Sarsgaard's in it. Michael Stuhlbarg, who I love. Caitlin Dever, that's it. She's really, really good on the show. Will Poulter, you might recognize him from The Revenant, and We're the Millers. I think he's got a big role in the MCU coming up. And John Hugenacher, who is, you probably don't know the name, but you might recognize his face. He was the king in all those Bud Light commercials, the Dilly Dilly guy. So yeah, no, he plays a DA, some kind of an attorney in this show. And he's really, really talented in it. Jake McDormand's in there as well, for all you Greek fans out there. And really, really amazing show. Dope Sick. I haven't finished it yet. Although probably once I'm done recording this episode, I'm probably going to go bang out an episode or two. But anywho, let's get to this episode. Let's do it. So Shiva Baby, like I said before, came out last year. It's a really nice under 90 minute movie, kind of a lost art form. The longer than an hour, but shorter than 90 minutes. 90 minute movies are hard enough to find nowadays anyway, but to find a good one and have it clock in at an hour 17, that is just very, very nice. It's a genre that needs to come back. So basically, Shiva Baby is the story of this girl who has to attend a Shiva, which is a Jewish funeral service. So she attends with her family when she runs into both an ex-girlfriend and her sugar daddy at the same time, while of course dealing with all the hubbub of, you know, what are you doing? She's a college student, so it's like, what are you studying? What are you doing next? This and that. And, you know, it's kind of this, like, this weird opportunity for her family to kind of show her off, in a sense, and she's very much not into it. The movie's from writer-director Emma Seligman. This was her feature debut. The cast, a lot of unknowns. Rachel Sennett, who is, I believe, is a stand-up comedian, plays the title, the main role as Danielle. Movie also has Danny DeFerrari, Polly Draper, Molly Gordon, Glennis Bell. The only face I think I recognized in the show was Fred Melamed, who is in a lot of... He's in a bunch of stuff. I know he's in... he was in WandaVision. He was in A Serious Man, which is an old Coen Brothers movie. I think... Is this the guy who does, like, the... In a World... I think he might be the voice of, like, movie trailers. I think this is him. Where is... I'm just going to look up In a World. I don't know why I'm making this so hard for myself. Stand by. In a World. This is really, really great. Right, yeah, it is. So, Fred Melamed, you might recognize his face. He's a popular character actor, but he's also a very famous voice actor as well. Back in the good old days, you know, movie trailers seem to start with, like, this deep voiceover. It's like, in a world of blah, 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 blah. That was this guy, Fred Melamed. And, you know, people forget he's an on-screen actor, too. So, he's in this one as the dad. And the movie as a whole, I didn't love it. I think it was a really creative... It was well made. It's very well made. There's a lot of build up to this one, and I think I had tweeted something out about it to the effect of, like, it's the movie's under 90 minutes, but it feels like it's 3 hours. But I mean that in a good way. So basically, this movie is painfully awkward. I think that's kind of where a lot of the humor, I guess, comes in. It's kind of it's dramedy. Coming of age kind of film, and when I say like, it's, you know, the movie feels like it's 3 hours long, it's because, like, it's like almost all of the humor in this is just so cringeworthy. It's not necessarily jokes, you know, per se, but it's more so just recurring bits about people. They're just pressing and pressing and pressing this girl, you know, at this funeral, and how I mentioned before, it's like the parents' chance to, like, show off her daughter. You hear the same conversation over and over and over and over and over again here. You know, it's like, oh, what are you doing? That's great, and then you should study this, and blah 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 blah. And then there's just, you know, all this stuff going around with her, and, like, she runs into an ex-girlfriend. Her sugar daddy is there as well. Not only is he there, but he's there with his wife and their baby. And the baby in this movie cries a lot, and it's very painful to listen to. Not a fun baby, not a cute movie baby. This one's really annoying. And yeah, there's just, like, all these, like, really tight situations. And one of the things that the film does really well, it's edited very well. You know, it's not easy to have a movie like this kind of be under 90 minutes and have the story kind of wrap up tightly. It makes it, everything, like, it's kind of like I said before, it's like every second of it just feels so much longer. And part of that is just the drawl, the way they shot it. You know, there's a lot of tight close-ups and emphasis on people's less desirable features, I guess. There's a lot of odd voices, or unique sounding voices, I should say, in this one. It's very dry, so it's not really a comedy where it's like, you know, set up, punchline, joke, hilarity ensues kind of thing. It's not even, you know, it's not physical in any way. It's literally just, like, so painfully awkward, and it's not funny. But, like, I shouldn't, you know, I thought the movie was very well made. You know, like I said, tightly written, tightly cut together. As far as it being a comedy, I didn't think it was particularly funny, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't work as a comedy. You know, it's not like a laugh out loud kind of like, haha, you know, I'm rolling on the floor laughing kind of thing. But I mean, overall, it's very well cast as well. Rachel Sennett, I thought, was you know, a great choice for the lead here. Like I said before, I never really heard of her before, but you know, I'd say she's probably someone to keep an eye on. Really, her and Emma Seligman, the writer director, I think these are both you know, impressive performances by, you know, some younger you know, some young talent. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Emma Seligman as a name to watch moving forward. You know, next time something comes out, I could see her, you know, I think that this is the movie that kind of puts her on the map, so to speak, or at least on people's radars in, like, the film community. Because the movie as a whole last year, like, I don't even think it was a national release or anything like that. But I remember it popped up on a couple different, like, year-end movies, like, you know, 10 best movies of whatever. And it kind of feels like a hidden gem in a little bit of way. Like, the movie is not going to be for everyone, so let's just get that out of the way, meow. And it's on HBO if you want to go see it. You know, it's not this rip-roaring, good-time comedy, and it's really not for everybody. But I think it just did a really, really great job of, you know, this main character, Danielle, and just like this, you know, how she's kind of being suffocated by everything around her. You know, she's finishing up school. She doesn't really know what she wants to do. She's got this, you know, pressure put on her by her parents. And there's this immediate situation where it's like she's, you know, she's stuck with her sugar daddy at this, you know, she's sleeping with an older guy. Well, he's not crazy old. He's like in his 30s or maybe 40s, something like that. You know, she's trying to keep that whole plot line under wraps. The two of them are. And then, like I said before, her ex-girlfriend is there. And in addition to just the very, like, judgy overtones that everyone's giving her. So it is a very suffocating feeling. And, like, I do remember, like, when I was that age, you know, it's like when you're like, let's say, like, you're graduating high school, you're going to college, or you're finishing up school, or whatever, it's like, it's the constant, like, same questions over and over and over and over and over again. And like me, like, you know, where I say, like, oh, like, I'm gonna go study filmmaking and stuff like that, you know, you immediately get the questions like, oh, well, like, do you want to write, do you want to direct, do you want to do this, do you want to do that? And, like, it's just like, especially when you don't necessarily know the answer, it's really annoying, and it can be a little embarrassing sometimes to just be like, yeah, like, I want to do this thing. I don't really know what I want to do in it, but I want to do it, and, you know, yada, yada. And then, of course, here I am all these years later, and all I have is a podcast. But no, it's, I do think that as a whole, this movie was, you know, well made. Will I ever watch it again? Probably not, if we're being honest. But overall, and we're going to rank the movie on a scale of 1 to 5 hazmats, as we always do here, I'm going to say that this movie is like 3 hazmats for me. So nice little indie flick again. You know, I think there's some good young talent here in this movie. But it's, you know, I don't think it's meant to be particularly enjoyed. I think it's more of a, well, I shouldn't say that. That sounds harsh. It's not a movie you're going to want to watch over and over and over again. So, but yeah, anyway, Shiva Baby, it is on HBO, so please go check that out if you wish. Okay, so moving on, and like I said, that was the only movie I watched this week. I've been watching this TV show, and it's just a busy week overall. I did, let's see, my other job, I started hosting trivia nights a few months ago, and I do that twice a week now. So by the time I get home from there, you know, I don't always have time to, like, start a full movie. Also, this really annoying thing called working out, And the fact that I have to wake up early to go do it in the mornings, that's cutting into my sleep time, which is cutting into my movie time. I'm not staying up as late as I used to, which is really when I got the bulk of my watching done, was, you know, after between like 9 p.m. and midnight. I was usually pretty good about like knowing how much time I had and not staying up past midnight, but alas, here we are. And yeah, just, you know, got a bunch of stuff going on right now. It's a busy time for the con man over here. So, anyway, SAG Awards, like I mentioned before. So we briefly touched on these last week. I just want to go into a little bit more detail on the film awards. So let's start from the bottom. Okay, so Ariana DeBose, Best Supporting Actress. No surprise there. I think we've kind of talked about it extensively on the show at this point, where, you know, with award shows and whatnot, that I think that she's the safest bet in any of the acting categories at this point. So Ariana DeBose is just gonna win an Oscar this year, and that's all fine and dandy. Let's accept it and move on. Yeah, I think it's well deserved as well. So no surprise there. Best Supporting Actor, Troy Kotsur, won that one for Coda. That's awesome. I know I mentioned it last week on the show, but I mean, Coda is, and I've talked about Coda many times on the show so far, and Coda, it was my favorite movie from last year. Just a great feel good. Is it, you know, a bit of a crowd pleaser? Yeah. Yeah, you bet your ass it is. It's a feel good movie with a, you know, about a community of people that we don't fully get to see a ton of, and you had a lot of really talented people working on this film together. So, and Troy Kotsur really stood out in the movie to me. I had never seen him on anything before, at least not to my knowledge. But I just didn't really think that he was gone, like the movie had any clout to kind of, you know, move forward. It was a big deal at Sundance when it came out last year. And, you know, they bought the right, Apple bought the rights, they put it out on streaming. But, like, I remember when it came out, it came out very quietly. Like, I saw it 2 months after it came out on Apple, and I never even heard of it. Well, I'd heard the name because of, you know, it was associated with Sundance, but, like, I don't remember ever seeing a trailer. I don't remember any, there was anything about Coda, out there in the world. So, like, it caught me by surprise. I was like, oh, this big movie from Sundance, like, it apparently it's been on Apple for 2 months, and I had no idea. So I mean, it was just a real joy to see it at first. And Troy Kotsur was the guy who really stood out in the movie to me. And I don't think that the movie was just so small, and I, at the time when I had seen it, like, I really don't think there had been a ton of word of mouth about it. So it just didn't feel like, you know, it was the kind of movie that was going to be a big, like, Oscar buzz kind of thing, but it kept going. You know, people kept watching it. I think that word, it was slow, but word of mouth started to come in. And then you see, you know, some of the awards start to come out, and Troy Kotsur's, you know, he's getting nominated for everything. Now he's been nominated for an Oscar, which, hopefully, you know, we can see him go on and win. You know, he won a SAG Award. He was at the Golden Globes. I think Critics' Choice Awards. Like, it was him and Cody Smith McPhee are the only two guys that have been kind of, like, checked every box so far. So, I mean, it was cool to see him win. You know, and when he went up there and did his acceptance speech, that was really awesome. Should he have won over Cody Smith McPhee? I think yes. I think, you know, Cody's probably the favorite going into it. But ultimately, Power of the Dog, you know, we've talked about it before. It's like, I don't get it. Like, I acknowledge that it's a good movie and it's very well acted. However, I just don't understand how the movie's gone all the hype that it's gotten. And I feel like I'm not alone, you know, in saying that. But I, like, there's like, you know, I'm on film Twitter and stuff like that, so, you know, I'm seeing, you know, who's saying, you know, I follow this stuff, and there seems to be like two trains of thought there. The people who think like Power of the Dog is like the best movie ever made and like it should win all these awards and yada yada, and then there's people like me who just like, yeah, it's a good movie, but why is it getting so much love. It doesn't really make sense. Like, it was good. It's not that good. So I don't know. It was nice for people like me to kind of see that and be like, okay, like Power the Dog kept it in check a little bit. You know, it's officially been checked. You know, seeing Troy Kotsur beat Cody Smith McPhee and seeing Coda as a whole beat Power the Dog, which, you know, if you ask me, that was the best thing that the movie had going for, was its cast, not so much the filmmaking aspects of it. So, but yeah. You know, really cool to see Troy Kotsur there edge out, who I thought was a favorite. But it's really not a year where there's like there's no Heath Ledger, there's no J.K. Simmons, there's no Javier Bardem, like there's no like clear cut like this guy is going to win kind of year. So, but Troy Kotsur's got all the momentum right now. So, yeah, I'm gonna keep pulling for him. All right, moving on. Best actress, we had Jessica Chastain won for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Now, this one was a big surprise to me because I had just watched the movie earlier that week, and the movie's not that great, if I do say so myself. Jessica Chastain is very, very good in it, but yeah, I don't know. It didn't have the feeling that, you know, it was going to happen for her. It kind of felt like Nicole Kidman. And being the Ricardos was the favorite here, and you know, probably had a lot of the momentum going into it. But this one was kind of up in the air because you know you have Chastain, you have Nicole Kidman, you had oh God, I'm blanking. There's someone else up there who is you know also a contender, but. I don't know. I guess I just didn't really see Jessica Chastain actually winning this. And I think it's well deserved. And like the more I've like thought about it, I mean, I'm kind of pulling for her to win an Oscar for this. I think she was great in the movie. She really was. But in a year where there's just not like a clear cut favorite, and you know, seeing Jessica Chastain get up there and win, you're reminded, it's just like, you know what, like, this is a really great actress who for the last, like, I don't know, 10-ish years or so has just been incredible in everything she's been in. And, you know, everything from The Help to, what was it, Molly's Game. Molly's Game is a fucking great movie. Like, she's insane in that movie. Interstellar, I know there's other ones I'm completely blanking on, but I just, point is, I really like Jessica Chastain. God, what is it? Shia LaBeouf, Tom Hardy. It's the Prohibition one. Does it start with an H? Fuck, what is it? Here I go again, being a great podcaster. What is that goddamn movie with... Fuck, now I have to look it up. Thanks a lot. Lawless, that's it. All right, Lawless is awesome. Anywho. Yeah, so Jessica Chastain. I'm pulling for her moving forward. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think her winning this kind of makes her the favorite for the Oscars. I still think it's a bit of a toss-up, and, you know, it could be one of those years where it's like, oh, all right, well, we'll give this person this award, this person that award, and then we'll just save the end for, like, Nicole Kidman or something like that. But who knows? We'll see. All right, moving on. Best actor was... Oh, my God. Why am I... why don't I have this pulled up? I feel foolish. Oh, Will Smith, of course. Will Smith was the best actor for playing King Richard, Venus and Serena Williams' dad. And I've said it before. I think this was the hump that he needed to get over to really establish himself as the favorite. Like, I think he was the favorite, but he hadn't. He just needed a little bit of separation from Benedict Cumberbatch and, you know, some of the other. Power players here, Benedict Cumberbatch, Denzel, Javier Bardem, and Andrew Garfield. It was really in particular Garfield and Cumberbatch that, you know, he really had to just kind of separate himself from. And I think he's done that, and I think he can pretty much walk to an Oscar at this point. I think if a Benedict Cumberbatch were to come in and win, I think that would be a major upset. I mean, ultimately, like with a guy like Will Smith, it's just time, and it's not. I don't think this feels like it's a career, like a lifetime achievement award. I think it's a well deserved award. I think he's incredible in the movie, and it's just one of those things where it's like the stars are aligning. You have like he's in this really good movie. It's vastly different from almost anything we've seen him do. Really, the only thing that's comparable is like Pursuit of Happiness. And yeah, he's been on a, he's been down for like 10-ish years or so. He's definitely out of his prime at this point. So to see him come in, just knock a roll out of the park like this, and then like when you look around the competition, you're just like, well, I mean, there's really nobody better for it. I probably would have, the only other competition I could realistically like see here is maybe Andrew Garfield, but that's just my opinion. I think Cumberbatch is probably closer than then, but I mean, Garfield was just so fucking good in Tick, Tick, Boom, but he'll be around. He had a really good year. He's in Eyes of Tammy Faye as well. He's in, Spider-Man, and I think he's, there might have been another one he's in, but Will Smith, good for you, buddy. He's one of the most well-liked dudes in America. He's an important part of, like, he was in his prime when I was a kid. So, Will Smith to me is, still Mr. 4th of July. Like, I, Robot, that was one of my favorite movies growing up. Everything he's done with The Fresh Prince and Men in Black and Independence Day and, there's so many goddamn good movies with Will Smith during that time. Pursuit of Happiness, Ali. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for him. This is the one that like you're just gonna sit back on your couch, and when he goes up there, he's gonna give a really heartfelt speech, and you're just gonna sit there smiling and just be like, "All right, good for you, Fresh Prince. Good for you, Will Smith." All right, moving on. Best cast ensemble cast, whatever the name of the award is, went to Coda, which was, again, a surprise. It felt like Power of the Dog was Temple of the Dog. That's what's his face, Eddie Vedder's other band, I think, or it used to be. Coda won. Kind of felt like Power of the Dog might have had the upper hand here, but I'm good. Good, the right movie won. there's one guy in Coda who's not getting nearly enough recognition for everything he's done, for the performance he gave, was an actor by the name of, Eugenio Derbez. So he plays the music teacher in the movie, and he's so fucking good in this movie. He's outshined by Troy Kotsur, but like he's absolutely incredible. Marley Matlin, incredible. The rest of the cast, Amelia Jones and Daniel Durant, they're great as well. As for my first time seeing both of them at anything, so they just got it right. SAG got it right, in my opinion. Does this make Coda a legitimate Best Picture contender? No, I don't. I don't think it does. It's nice to see them getting acknowledged for what was the strongest part of the movie, I think, which was the performances and the story. I don't think it's really checked enough boxes to kind of make it a Best Picture favorite right now. Dune, we all think is doomed at this point because, Denis Villeneuve wasn't included on the Best Director race, but you still have West Side Story. You still have Power of the Dog. I don't see the path for Coda to win Best Picture. I just don't see it, really. I think this is going to be a year where, we look at the nominees and then someone's going to win, probably Power of the Dog, and we're all going to look back and just be like, that one? It's going to be like when, The Artist or Crash you know, wins Best Picture. It's just like, oh man, like it really wasn't a great year for movies. Crash is a little different. You know, Brokeback Mountain should have won that. The year of the Artist won. That was a bad year for film. I forget what year it was or what else was nominated that year, but I remember we had to go back and look at it a couple years ago or a couple episodes ago, and that was like, that really stood out. It's like, damn, there were no good movies that year. All right, moving on. So yeah, great for Coda. I agree with it. I think it, you know, absolutely deserves the recognition it received. Whether or not this is indicative of something better at the Oscars, we'll see. I think anything other than Troy Kotsur winning at the Oscars, I think is going to be, you know, gravy for that movie. I mean, Kotsur's, I think, is the favorite at this point, which would be fucking awesome if he could come in and, you know, snag that. But we'll see. We'll absolutely see about that one. All right, that is pretty much going to do it for this week. Nice short episode. I think we did over an hour last week. We're going to keep this one to about 30 minutes or so. So a lot of good stuff starting to come out. It feels like we're getting out of that like January, February, you know, just dumping ground of, you know, bad content getting poured out. And also since, you know, a lot of the limited release stuff has already come out, we're starting to see like some like new 2022 releases coming down the pipeline. We have The Adam Project, which is going to be coming out on Netflix that I'm really excited about. Drive My Car just dropped on HBO. That's up for Best Picture and Best Director this year. So if you're into foreign films, I'm probably going to be trying to talk about that one on next week's episode. Yeah, there's, and I'm, you know, of course I'm going to finish Dope Sick between now and then. And there's a couple of, you know, shows I want to check out. Fresh, that's another one on Hulu. I want to be sure to check that out too. So things are coming, and we're going to have some new content to talk about. So in the meantime, though, why don't you follow me, and we can talk a lot about what we're actually seeing in real time. You know, I do instant movie reviews on Twitter, and I'll post those to Instagram as well. So you can follow the podcast at QuarantineMapod on Twitter. But you can also give me a follow at ThatGuySell. And you can also, in the meantime, subscribe to the show. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard, really. You can find us just about anywhere. So in the meantime, don't be a hero. Stay inside and watch a movie.